Hey, Jay, thank you. Lovely to see you all. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Let me share with you a true story about an Italian princess called Eliza Borghese. She was 77 years old at the time, and she became a prisoner in her own home. I mean, she lived in Genoa, Italy, where the big bridge collapsed a few years ago, and she had millions, absolutely millions, to cushion her life. You know, everything was good. It was fine, in a sense. And then a man called Baron Voldemar, I don't know who he was, but Baron Voldemar turned up with his female companion and they befriended the princess. And over a short period of time, they moved into her apartment. They began to live luxuriously, really, on her wealth. They persuaded her, actually, that she'd be better if she moved into the servants' quarters and left them with the main house. And then neighbours began to notice that the princess looked dishevelled and thin, you know, And when one day one of these neighbors heard the princess begging for money, he said, this is not right. There's something wrong here. And he contacted the police. And as the princess recounted, at first, she said, Baron and his companion moved into my home as friends and then became strangers. And I didn't know how to get free. Baron Voldemar had convinced her that she was penniless. To survive, she had to do what the Baron told her to do. She couldn't explain why she'd been so easily scared. She said, they gave me a drip, drip, drip feeling that nothing would last, that nothing would endure. Now, I know they're evil now. I can't stop wondering how they got control of me. It's been a nightmare, she said, but now I am free. You know, the sadness of such a story is that we really feel for that princess, really feel for the loss of her home, the loss of her freedom, the loss of her very identity. We believe in freedom and the importance of freedom for ourselves and for others. In fact, we abhor the opposite of freedom, the loss of key freedoms such as speech and worship, of want and of fear. And that's why you may feel so uneasy about the number of dictatorships that are around the world, while we might be really grateful for the freedoms we have in our country. Indeed, the freedom to go out and to protest about something that really matters to us, as we've seen recently, the really important Black Lives Matter protests. In our evening sermon series, we're looking at the role of the Holy Spirit, what he does and how he affects us day by day. And today's reading is all about freedom, freedom from and freedom too. Now, I know that you might think that that's daft, because you know that Christianity is actually about restrictions and outdated rules and all the rest of it. And yes, okay, I'm going to have to agree with you. It's not difficult to make Christianity just a set of rules and restrictions. But I tell you what, it's not what our writer Paul is talking about in our reading this evening. If you've got a Bible near you, grab it. If you've got your phone, get it up on there quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It begins in our reading that Amy graciously gave us. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. That's his opening statement. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Christianity is about freedom, not what restricts you, not what hems you in, not what enslaves you. Freedom is all part of God's nature. Freedom to choose what you want to be. Freedom to become how you wish to develop. This passage reminds us that the Holy Spirit offers us choice. There's a way that restricts and hems and enslaves, but there's a way of life that releases, that liberates, that lets you soar like an eagle, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not grow faint, as the prophet Isaiah put it. You see, the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe in Jesus in order to do the work of that day-to-day sanctifying, making us more like Jesus, more like we were always planned to be by God, our Creator. You know, it's just that our human nature, our human desires apart from God, Paul calls them, by the way, flesh and acts of the flesh in our reading. Those human desires that are apart from God have a strong pull on us. We behave as they encourage. We indulge our own cravings. We serve our own needs. Whereas the Holy Spirit fills us with the fruit of the Spirit, encouraging and enabling us to turn from selfishness and selflessness, others first, loving our neighbor, serving, as Paul writes, serving one another humbly in love, verse 13 and 14, it's all there. It is, though, for any of us willing to admit, a battle, a spiritual battle for leadership of our very lives. It's a battle that never stops, though let me encourage you. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. I've tried to walk the way of Jesus and live by the Spirit. Sometimes I do well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes my old human nature, you know, the all me and my desires, they get the better of me. And I act not like a Christian, not like a follower of Jesus. But there are and have been other times in the spiritual battle when the pull towards my human desires, those fleshly instincts, it's strong, but it's overcome by a real inner spirit-led desire to live in the ways of Jesus. Perhaps you can think of your own stories. Your own story, yes, of there'll be failures in there, failure to live as Jesus did, yeah. But there'll be those successes, the times when you held firm to the way of Jesus. So as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, let's remember that we face a battleground over our hearts and minds, in which there is an enemy in front of us and an ally amongst us. Let's begin with that metaphor of a battleground. Verses 13 and 15 in our reading. You, my brothers, were called to be free, just as I said before. Verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. This is the crux of the matter. If we're not free from sin and the effects of sinful desires, then we're not in a battle. C.S. Lewis, the great Oxford professor who wrote the Narnia stories and all that, he also wrote something called Screwtape Letters. It's a wonderfully imagined set of writings from a senior devil to a junior devil on teaching the junior devil how to keep humanity, men and women, from discovering Jesus, first of all. And if they do discover Jesus, for goodness sake, how to stop them being a good Christian, how to trip them up all the time, you know. So these Screwtape Letters are fantastic, of this spiritual battle that's going on. Here's a quote from them, from the senior devil to the junior devil. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards, if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. But we who've chosen to believe in the power of Jesus to redeem us from our sin and set us free on the path of eternal life, we are called to be free. It's not a freedom we've earned, by the way. It's a gift of God. Our Christian life began not with our decision to follow Christ, but with God's call for us to do so, to follow Christ. It's his initiative, his grace, his rescue, his gift of freedom. Does that mean we can now freely do whatever we want? No, because to do so would be to indulge what we want, our human desires, rather than live for others as God invites us. We're free from seeking merit before God, from earning spiritual brownie points. We're free from the shackles of sin that hold us back. We're released into being all that God truly purposed for us. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters again, senior devil to junior devil, writes this. When God talks of their losing their selves, he means only abandoning the clamour of self-will. Once they have done that, he really gives them back all their personality and boasts that when they are wholly his, they will be more themselves than ever. You know, our freedom is not one to exploit my neighbour for my own ends, but to love that neighbour as I love myself, to serve that neighbour humbly and in love. And this is the battleground. We are free from sin, yet we will hold steady to our freedom. Will we hold steady to that freedom? Will we become more and more the very person that God created us to be? This is the battleground that exists. Well, what about the enemy that is in front of us? Verses 16 to 21 of our reading from Galatians 5. The enemy is in front of us. The battle is before us, so to speak. We can, verse 16, live by the Spirit. Verse 18, we can be led by the Spirit. so that we show we're free from the desires that draw us in. The Holy Spirit and the flesh, that's to use the language of St. Paul, the Holy Spirit and the flesh are opposed to one another. Verse 17, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. And then Paul hits the nail on the head. Our freedom is not a freedom to indulge ourselves in whatever we want, but a freedom to be released from the draw of human desires. Look at verse 17. You are not to do whatever you want. You are not to do whatever you want. Because we really want to please the one who has loved us so much. I mean, you know this for yourself in your own life, don't you? You know, somebody, your parent, your spouse, your friend, your colleague at work, they do a great kindness for you. How do you respond? Turn your back, ignore, slap them around the face? No, you respond in wanting to do something good for them in return. And when God loved us by sending his son to die for us, to rescue us from our sin and to offer us eternal life, our response is not to be, well, cheers and where's the next beer? No, it's to say thank you. To say, how can I best show my thanks to God for what he's given? But it is to walk in the way of Jesus revealed, to live in the Spirit, to love my neighbor as myself. You know, the enemy in front of us is our human desires. And for most people, they have no idea that these human desires are restricting them, hemming them in, enslaving them day to day. C.S. Lewis and his Screwtape Letters, again, I'm afraid, you know, you're going to have to get that book. It really is worth buying. Prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels that he is finding his place in it, while really it is finding its place in him. You know, until the Spirit opens our eyes, we truly believe we're in charge. But in reality, we're increasingly and steadily becoming more and more what our desires, our human desires want. A bit more money, more power, more pleasure, more fame. You know, these are the acts of the flesh, verse 19. Now, I'm not going to talk about them much. Let's just say they drop really, it looks like, into three categories. There's the sort of sexual cravings of immorality, impurity, and debauchery. There's some religious cravings there, the idolatry and the witchcraft, and there's a whole load of relationship cravings that he just lists, hatred, discord, jealousy, etc., etc., etc. Or as Paul puts it in verse 21, and the like. I mean, this is clearly, for Paul, not an exhaustive list, by the way. And none of these satisfy. And we're hoodwinking ourselves into thinking that they don't matter because they are not the way of Jesus. That's the enemy in front of us. So we got the battle, we got the enemy in front of us, but we have an ally amongst us. Verses 22 to 25. You know, the best thing I can tell you today is there is hope. You don't have to be enslaved to your human cravings and desires. God has set you free through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He has taken the penalty for our sin, nailed it to the cross, and calls us, yes, calls us, his sons and daughters. He is our heavenly Father. This is the gift of the Spirit to you. And the fruit of the Spirit is the outworking of that gift, that life, that hope in our lives day by day and year by year. You know, just as the enemy in front of us is all about me, of my life and so on, so the ally amongst us is all about how we bless others, how we bring that love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, every one of those values is revealed in God's great story in Scripture. Each value is very much part of the very being of God. And indeed, they're meant to be very much part of the own image of God that resides in each of us who are his creation. So we have a new life. Look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, look, we have a new life. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So there's a battle for the way we live, There's an enemy in front of us and an ally amongst us. And you're going to ask me, perhaps you're asking yourself, is this battle winnable? You know, I, and maybe you too, of course, maybe you're thinking, you know, I get what you say. I know there's a battle, but I never seem to win it. I always seem to let my human cravings win. It's just impossible to live in step with the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, you know, you're right, partially right. Because, you know, the pull of that old nature, you know, it never gives up. Never gives up, even when we belong as one of God's holy people. That our lives, the spirit within us almost groans inwardly because we're struggling. You know, we're living in a in-between time. We're living in a time when there was a time with our human desires and our passions, and now there's a new time with Christ and his full and complete kingly reign. We're living in the in-between of those two. And you know, as one who's followed Jesus now for over 40 years, I know the desires and the passions of the flesh, they still pull at my heart and mind. I also know that as the years have gone by, as I've asked the Holy Spirit to fill me more and more, as I've prayed for the fruit of the Spirit to be more and more evident in my life, I truly believe I am less and less drawn and entrapped by the passions of my old nature. But I'm still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. Just ask my loved ones, though I think they'll be good enough not to shock me, by the way. So I ask you now, is it not worthwhile remembering that there is a battle that we are in, that there is an enemy in front of us, but we have an ally amongst us, that we pray to keep in step with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And as we do that in small, almost unseen ways, actually that Holy Spirit will be at work in your life. And you will be one who increasingly lets the fruit of the Spirit be evident more and more. Let's pray. Just as you are now, you may like just to put your hands out like this, so to speak, open palms up. Is this a way of saying, I'm open to you, the Holy Spirit? I long for this fruit to come in to our lives. Let us just pray that that be the case now. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have not left us without your Spirit. Fill us, we pray, with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fashion them within us, that day by day, in ways unseen, we would be more and more the people you long for us to be, more and more reflect the image of you within us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill each one of us. Fill me now. Amen.